Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Cheryl, as you know, when we have to break, we have to break. And there's no way around it. Go ahead with what you were going to talk about after Randall had discussed something with you.
We were talking about the idea that that these craft or the aliens may have the technology, which we call active camouflage, which is the ability to not only cloak, but to make their craft, perhaps even themselves, if they've got suits. And our own military is investigating this possibility. We've seen examples of fabric that can change and morph its imagery to blend in with the backgrounds. And so if they've got that kind of technology, they can do all of these things that people have been assuming are other dimensions or very, very highly exotic technology that can actually morph through walls and such.
Yes, and I was going to say the bigger question for me is, sure, there's a possibility they can do that, but then why show up in the first place? You know, why are they in our atmosphere and people being able to report them if they can camouflage themselves? Why do that? Why make themselves known? What's the point of that?
That is a super good question, isn't it? Well, we were talking about that not long ago with Martin Willis and his point of view, and he does podcast UFO here. Another person is very interested in the subject. And he said one of his people that he was talking to was told that we're like an experiment for them. I think he used the word petri dish, and that's probably an exaggeration because we're pretty intelligent. We're not bacteria, but you know, maybe they're playing with our minds, and it seems to be the case because of this theatrical nature where you're absolutely right. If they didn't want us to know they're here, we'd have no idea.
Yes, exactly.
So go ahead.
We'll get on the same wavelength eventually. Yes, well, you know, we could be bacteria too indeed. You know, we're we're so full of ourselves, aren't we? Oh, gosh, there's so many things to say. I don't even know where to start with that.
Well, just the idea that they're studying us. Like one of the things that you know we hear from time to time is that, well, maybe to them we're just like the other wildlife, only we're doing all of this stuff that humans do, building cities and roads, and we have some technology. But otherwise, we're not, to them, that different. And so just like we go out and we study other animals and we give them various stimulus to see how they react so that we can gauge how intelligent they are and how they think, maybe they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think that's highly likely. And a lot of people have proposed the idea that they're here for the advancement of humanity. Maybe some were in the past, but I don't think they particularly were or have been of late. I think we're sort of left on our own to figure things out for ourselves, but they certainly gave us warnings. But while they were here, doing whatever it is that they do, because you know there would be, let's call them extraterrestrials, who are scientists and explorers, and they're here for their own, you know, their own experience, their own knowledge, fact-finding, you know. And, yeah, we could certainly be experimented on and studied and watched from, you know, decade to decade or century to century. Because you've got to wonder, like we're just having this conversation with a few colleagues recently, that during the 1990s, the numbers of people reporting close encounters was off the charts all around the world. And in 1997, we topped out at 800 reports just in 1 year. They weren't all close encounters, but a lot of them were. But there were a lot of good sightings that were up close and personal. And so there could have been close encounters involved there, but, you know, people just hadn't become aware of it. So, you know, what was that about? What went on through that 10-year period? Were they here studying us, taking samples? And what were they doing with it, you know? What was really going on? And where have they gone now? In Australia, I don't know what's happening in the US, although I think I got the MUFON newsletter saying that there was an increase in reports, which I find interesting. In Australia, the numbers have really dropped off for what people are, you know, the good reports that are full of information. What we're getting a lot now is people taking photos on their smartphones, and we're getting, you know, images sent to us which are black screens with a white dot on it and say, what is this? Well, we don't know. So the quality of reports that's coming in is much different now, and I think it's far more misinterpretation than ever, or wishful thinking. So, you know, have they gone to somewhere else on the planet? Is that worldwide? And what happened during that 90s when you had this influx of huge amount of reports? You know, and have they gone on to study some other planet now?
Well, that's a really good point. And if they're these sort of galactic overlords that go around maybe helping life or seeding life on worlds, and then they take off and come back again and check on us every now and then, and that's why we get these waves of sightings. And there's also the idea that, well, they don't just completely abandon us. They maybe leave a base here. And so we've heard lots of stories about UFOs that are in the water, unidentified submerged objects. Even this Nimitz case that they're talking about out of the United States, that it happened some number of years ago, but it involved these underwater craft. And we've heard of quite a few of those down in your part of the world. Have you gotten any reports down there that you can share with us about underwater UFOs?
Sure. We've received a few out of our oceans, particularly around an area called Redcliffe in Brisbane. Which actually isn't, I don't think it is part of Brisbane, it's on the outskirts. And where people, which is a sort of a place, it's not like our beautiful Gold Coast, but it's an ocean area where people go for picnics and things like that. And people have reported seeing craft come up out of the water. And they've also seen them around we've got a couple of islands off the coast here of Queensland too. So they've seen them, leaving the islands, that sort of thing, but definitely seeing them come out of water. And I seem to remember soon after the disclosure project, what was that, 2001, here in Australia we had a researcher spearheaded by the name of Keith Basterfield, who spearheaded the Disclosure Australia project, and he went through all the National Archive trying to pull out as many documents as he could on UFOs, and he used to put out a newsletter with what he was finding. And one always stuck in my mind, and I may have some of these details incorrect, but there was one report of, there was a ship off the north coast of Queensland going towards Papua New Guinea, I think it was, and the people on deck, they saw this large object underwater which was emitting a yellow light. Obviously, this was a military ship. And the object, the light itself, whether it was coming off an object or not, it was some incredible amount of length, like a kilometre long or something like this. And this ship had been following it, and I think they couldn't keep up with it and they lost sight of it. But it was on their radar. We do have those reports. There's also off Sydney. There's a place down there where during the late 90s there were was a lot of activity and people were seeing things coming out of the water as well. So, yeah, I think it probably happens everywhere.
We'll get back into more descriptions of objects from beneath the sea or the lake or whatever. With Cheryl, Gene, and Randall, you're in the Paracast. Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We continue as we look at the underwater UFOs. I mean, whenever we look at this, there's always the consideration that if aliens are setting up shop here, they would set up a base under the sea, so it would be more difficult to find them.
Yeah, and I think that's a smart move too. And their technology can probably go into much deeper water than our own, of course. But, you know, there could be spaceships in Marianas Trench and places like that. It's a great place to hide, that's for sure. And who knows what's going on down there.
Do you remember the approximate year of the Papua New Guinea?
No, I don't actually. I have to go and look that up. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, because it just tweaked my memory about the one that happened there back in 1959, the Father Gill case.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Which was super, you know, it just made me wonder. Well, I wonder if they're connected, but.
That was incredible. We've got the records for that, and it's just incredible what happened there. Imagine a spaceship hovering over a boys' mission in Papua New Guinea, and the priest comes out as well. He sees, I think there were ended up being about 38 witnesses to that, and a spaceship, one particular spaceship, was hovering low. There were others around it as well, but this one was close enough for them to see four humanoids come out onto the top of it, and one of the boys on the beach waved, and one of the humanoids waved back.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Put yourself in that situation. I would have just fallen down on the sand, you know, like, what? And then they started to beckon for them to come down and land, and they didn't, of course.
No.
And then they took off. But there were many, many sightings around that particular time over Papua New Guinea.
And I believe that one was investigated by J. Allen Hynek from QFOS, and who was also involved with Project Blue Book. And from what I recall, he believed that the story was genuine. And that's a really interesting case. The idea that you've got these humanoids, this is something, and this is a completely other tangent, but it's kind of connected in that we had Dr. Michael Masters on, and he was talking about the possibility that they're time travelers from the future. And that's why they look so human, because essentially they are humans. The similarities he feels from an anthropological perspective, there's just too many to ignore the likelihood that they are either humans or they are our descendants in the future. What do you think of that idea, that the whole time travel thing?
Yeah, I think that's possible too. I do think that from what people are reporting, that yes, they report very human-looking. Some of the extraterrestrials are very human-looking. But there's such a wide variety that they report too, and they certainly could be time travelers. But I just wanted to make the point too, you know, that during the 1990s, sorry for harping on that decade, but we were hearing in Australia, we were getting a lot of information of the types of beings that were involved in the alien abduction experiences. And we were hearing that a lot of them were the grey beings, and they were involved in all types of encounters too, not just abduction experiences, but, you know, close-up experiences. But here in Australia, at least in our organisation, we were getting a very wide variety of reports, and this is one of the differences that I noticed, that while the grey alien persona was very popular coming out of the United States from what we could tell, in Australia it was quite different. And people were reporting, you know, blue-coloured beings or beings with dolphin skin, beings that looked more human. Just different types of beings. I remember one, I didn't really know what to make of it, but as one gentleman said, I saw this being that had extremely large ears. And so, you know, there was such a wide variety, and this was a great difference that I noticed between Australia and the US.
Hmm. And, okay, and so then I guess that leads us to assume that either we've got a bunch of different races of alien beings, wherever they come from, they might all come from the same planet. Maybe they all evolved in the same place, or on maybe the same star system, or maybe they come from all over different places. But to me, that seems a little bit less likely. Or maybe, again, we're dealing with one phenomena that is able to take whatever shape and form it wants, depending on the situation?
Well, I think that there's a possibility that some of that's going on. I don't know whether it's one phenomenon or maybe we're mishmashing it into one phenomenon. But I do think that extraterrestrials in general who are way advanced to us, who were involved in, say, the Close Encounter reports, are master mental manipulators. And I think that could go back to what you were suggesting before, that maybe not just that they could use this act of camouflage, but maybe they're putting these images into our own minds.
I completely hear you. I mean, I've thought of that kind of casually from time to time. Like, okay, you know, I'm more of a science, technology, nuts and bolts. How could it be done? Well, I could see how it could be done that way. When you get into this idea of mind manipulation, it becomes a little bit more kind of out there. And yet, we've seen this portrayed in sci-fi, on Star Trek, for example, where Captain Christopher Pike, he's captured and and the aliens are able to put images into the minds of their captors that make them believe that they're in completely other different places and seeing completely different things. And that's, maybe that is what's going on, because we hear about people talking and hearing the aliens talking to them telepathically. That's really common. And so if you can go that far, and I think telepathy seems to be a real phenomenon. People do seem to get this at least a feeling a lot of times, especially if you've been in a relationship or if you're a parent, it's like you've got a connection. You know what happens. But the people who have experienced UFO encounters often hear direct voices right in their head. Well, if these aliens can put sounds into our head, you're absolutely right. How do we know they're not also putting pictures in our head? How do we know any of it actually happened anywhere else but inside our head?
Before we get into Cheryl's answer, because it's an interesting one, what if the experiences that people have about UFOs are in their head, but that even takes us to collective unconscious, which, of course, is a theory that was echoed by our semi-regular guest, David Halper, an old friend of mine, a religious scholar. So it's something that could be explored, but we want Cheryl's feeling on this in our next segment with Gene and Randall. You're in the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden has approved a federal disaster declaration for the state of Texas, getting some much-needed help to that state as it recovers from one of the worst winter storms to hit it in years. According to a statement from the White House, the declaration will provide assistance to individuals who sustained losses due to disasters and offers to help repair public facilities and infrastructure. Texas Governor Greg Abbott thanked the president for the declaration, calling it a good first step. In a release, the governor said that the president's order only provides assistance for 77 of the state's 254 counties. And the Justice Department says a 95-year-old Tennessee man has been deported to Germany to face charges for his role in the Holocaust. In a statement, the department said Friedrich Karl Berger was ordered out of the country after a February 2020 trial where he allegedly admitted to guarding prisoners at the Neuengamme concentration camp in Germany in 1945. Berger becomes the 70th Nazi removed from the United States, having been deported earlier this weekend. This is USA Radio News. Former President Trump will make his first public appearance since leaving office next week. Val Dior has the details from the USA Radio News Texas Bureau.
The former president will address the Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC, in Florida next week. He'll speak about the future of the Republican Party and the conservative movement. CPAC is in Orlando, Florida, this year from February 25 to 28. It's his first major public appearance since he left the White House, and it's said he'll take on President Biden's immigration policies as well, which are proving to be the polar opposite of the Trump administration. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm Val Dior.
And President Biden will hold his first bilateral meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau next week. The two leaders are expected to discuss the coronavirus pandemic, economic issues, and climate change during the virtual meetings. President Biden's cabinet is also expected to meet with Canadian ministers to discuss an array of issues. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Cheryl Gottschall, what do you think? Do you think it's possible that we're being manipulated and that what we see or experience is all in our heads?
I don't think it's all in our heads because we have evidence from ground trace cases to show that there is a physical aspect to the UFO phenomenon. But I've had many, many people contact me and say that before they had their sighting, they might have been in their house or just relaxing somewhere else, and they get prompted to go outside and look up at the sky. And you've got to ask, and that's when they'll see a UFO. Why do that? Why prompt people? And let's just, you know, suggest that this is true, this actually happens. Why are they being prompted to go outside and see the UFOs, number one? Then there are the cases where people report aliens are touching their head, and as soon as they touch their head, if they're frightened, or feelings of calm or love are being sent to them or through their body, particularly in the case of close encounters taken on board a craft and they may have some sort of samples taken from them. Feelings of love emanate from them. Why? Well, yeah, we know between humans things have to happen for us to feel love for someone else, unless it's an unconditional universal love. But on that sort of scale, like, why would you suddenly love someone who's taken you out of your house and put you on board a spaceship? What's that about?
Pacification.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think it's true. But so
we often tend to go kind of outside when we talk about love and spirituality as if it's something that is disconnected from our physiology, but really, if you ask a neuroscientist, well, it's really not. When we have these feelings, there's very, very direct correlations with biochemistry and neural states. So if they're able to manipulate those, and we have done some of that ourselves. I mean, you might have heard of the work of Dr. Michael Persinger, unfortunately no longer with us, who used EM waves to stimulate different parts of subjects' brains, and they got these feelings. Some of them even saw what would be described as a classic apparition while this was taking place. So if we've got the technology to kind of do this, and what if they perfected it again? We might be experiencing things more inside our consciousness than what's out there in the objective world. But I have to agree with you too, because you did say trace evidence. I mean, how is an illusion supposed to show up on radar? You know, like,
yeah.
So it's not, so the skeptics, in other words, the skeptics can't just say, oh, well, if it's all in their heads, well, maybe it's the whole thing is, right? If there are no aliens, it's just all in people's heads. Well, no, there is something causing it. There's some external thing. And that's what we're calling the aliens in this case. They're doing this. They're making people have these experiences.
Yeah, yeah. And I think while they're doing that, they're also utilizing our own faculties too. For example, like I've had a couple of, one profound out-of-body experience. We have the ability to do these things, but they often happen spontaneously in strange, weird circumstances, which is completely in an unexpected way. But if extraterrestrials have been studying us, they must understand our faculties a lot better than what we do, so they can utilize those faculties too. And who knows what our own human faculties are, their parameters to it too. So there's a whole lot of stuff in that bag there, I think.
Definitely. Or, and here's something else too, though, because we talk about this on our forum, we have the Paracast community forums, and so we get some interesting proposals, you know, concepts that kind of challenge the status quo, like the idea that, well, they're so far advanced from us, they must know everything, and that it would take us forever to catch up. But then, you know, someone will say, like Marduk, for example, I think he proposed this. That's his handle in the forums. Goes by Jason when he's on with us on the roundtable discussions. But, I mean, we got into thinking, well, maybe they really don't know as much as we assume they do. Because we are humans. We've evolved here. We know ourselves really, really well. We understand our psychology really well. We know that we have this thing called consciousness. For all we know, the aliens don't really even have a consciousness. And they're wondering what it is that we're talking about. And that's why they're studying us, trying to figure it out.
Yeah, but there's a possibility that while they've been studying us, they've discovered things about us that we didn't know about ourselves too.
Well, that could be the case because of their technology too. Because they do seem to be able to do things that are beyond our means right now technologically with their ships and stuff. And yet, as Jean has pointed out, and others as well, when it comes to getting us on an examination table, it seems like they're using implements that by even our own standards would be considered almost medieval, you know, like drills and probes and you know, metal. And now, I mean, we've got technology now where a doctor in another part of the country can operate robotically on a patient in another part of the country. And we've got MRIs which can see inside. You don't have to do this sort of, you know, exploratory surgery to see what's going on anymore. So, you know, if that's the case, you would think that these aliens would be able to just scan us with their scanning beam and know everything that there is to know, and that would be that. And yet that's not what seems to happen.
Yes, but let me put that in there, that perhaps they are doing some things from a distance now, and that's why we're not... that's why there's, at least from what I can see, not as many sightings, close up and personal, as we used to see, or that quality of sighting has changed. Maybe they're doing things differently. Maybe they're still doing, experiments on us, but they're doing it in a different way because their own technology would advance as well.
Right, but aren't we assuming here a technology from the 1910s as opposed to any recent technology? And if we have this race of people from another star system, and they are maybe a couple of thousand years ahead of us, we think their medical science would have progressed to the point where they can do a full examination of someone or something without people even knowing it. They want to get our DNA, they can do it in a way that we would have no memory of it. But the fact that we do may indicate, therefore, that the experience is not nearly what we expect that it is. Also, it seems that UFO technology is always a few steps ahead of us. Wherever we go, it's a few steps ahead. Look at the 1897 airships.
Yes, yeah. There could be, I think that's true too. I think that some of the extraterrestrials coming here and interacting with humans may not be as far advanced as what we think, because out there in the cosmos there's got to be races at all different levels of development. So, you know, some of them would be coming here with older technology, some with much more advanced technology. Some would think, well, why do we even want to go there? You know, why bother? So we probably never even see those.
You know what? We're going to break here, and then I'm going to bring up that issue. We talked about Stargate SG-1 earlier, where the main villain, at least for the early seasons, was a race of scavengers who took technology left by an advanced ancient race that had ascended to a higher level. They took that technology and exploited that technology. And would E.T. have been a race of beings that took technology from a race that had departed their planet and exploited it, but in other ways they're not so far advanced? More to come with Gene Randall and Cheryl. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So that puts up two possibilities, Cheryl Gottschall. One, that the extraterrestrials or the ones visiting us or some of them are using a technology left by other races, or that after building warp drive or whatever they used to get here, their technology floundered. What say you?
Yes. That's true. Actually, I don't really know what to say about that because, you know, it's really hard to think about those sorts of possibilities when we are where we are in our own understanding. I want to hear what Randall's got to say about that. Actually, I'm going to put it back on him. Throw him under the bus.
Oh, great. Here we go. Here, I was just like, what are you guys talking about? I'm not really sure of the direction there, Gene. Like, what are you saying exactly? Can you restate that question or rephrase it a little bit?
Me? And, well, the question I asked, or the comment I asked, was whether two possibilities here. Maybe the aliens visiting us are using or reusing technology left by another race. They're scavengers, though, where they take over something and they're using it, but otherwise they are not so far advanced, or they developed some sort of method to travel from star system to star system.
Okay.
Otherwise they're not so far advanced.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. One of the things that ufologists do, and it drives some people in the field nuts, but for other people it's a lot of fun, and that's to speculate about what the possibilities might be, because we still don't know for sure exactly what's going on. And you might be right, Gene, and this is something we talked about before as well in the forums, is that, well, maybe these aliens aren't really as smart as everybody thinks they are. They just kind of accidentally discovered anti-gravity somehow, or maybe, as you suggest, you know, unearthed it on some dig on their own world, and they don't really know how it works. They just know kind of how to copy it and fly around. And so when you've got something as powerful as anti-gravity and just a little bit of technology, so even as good as ours, you could make these ships, but really not be all that knowledgeable about exactly what's going on in the universe. We might even be smarter than they are. They may not even have things like microchips. When you think about a microchip today, we're talking about billions of transistors on something that's, you know, the size of a fingernail. This is incredible technology that we've got now. And for all we know, they have nothing like it at all. Theirs may work completely different than ours. The trick to anti-gravity might be something relatively simple that we've just overlooked. And once we figure it out, we'll be going, oh my God, I can't believe we didn't think of that sooner.
I think, too, we have to remember that we developed our technology for us, for human beings. And being a human, creating something for humans, gives you an advantage because, you know, you're living in this skin. We understand ourselves, like you said before, Randall. And so we may not be advanced in some areas in our science, but when it comes to perhaps performing things on human anatomy or something like that, then we may actually understand that a little bit better than some extraterrestrials.
Oh, yeah, good point. I mean, say, imagine we get to the point where we are out traveling amongst the stars and we discover some other civilization, and maybe they're less advanced than we are. That doesn't mean that we would necessarily be able to go down and perform an operation on them and cure them. We would need to do all kinds of studies to figure out what their biology is about, and it would take a long time before we would become as adept, perhaps, as even they are in their own society, dealing with their own lives and world.
Well, the other thing, of course, is say that just as we may have a crashed spaceship at Roswell, and we figure a way to make some repairs. And so we try to fly the thing. And of course, that takes us to the plot line of Independence Day, where the so-called spaceship at Area 51 in the movie, they managed to make it fly. So they're able to fly this, and maybe they're able to duplicate the construction of these things. But that doesn't mean the technology is beyond that. They have this here, an example of technology that they could use or maybe duplicate to some degree without fully understanding what they're doing, but doesn't mean they're more advanced than that. Then again, when you look at so-called alien visitors, they appear to be humanoid, and you think that in many ways they're similar enough to us that their medical science would understand a lot about us before they do the tests.
You know, you've just prompted my memory, Gene, in that I remember years ago I heard Paula Harris say something like we had reverse engineered spaceships, built certain technologies, but we couldn't make it work because it needed extraterrestrial DNA to activate it. And that goes back to the sci-fi, doesn't it, the science fiction. And that was one of the sci-fi series in Stargate.
In Stargate, it's that Colonel, or then General O'Neill, spoiler, had the ancient gene, and thus was able to power these advanced spaceships. So it was reading your genetic code. And if you had the right genetic code, you're in. If you don't have the right genetic code, forget about it.
Yes. And I remember Paola also saying something like that the military was aware of certain people who had that DNA, who were human living on Earth, and they would actually recruit them to get into the military at a young age, so then later on they could be utilized in somehow being involved with the technology.
Well, that would also raise the possibility here, and it gets to the ancient astronaut theory, that we were seeded by E.T. hundreds of centuries ago, whatever. We were seeded by E.T., and they've watched our progress. And we are based on a hybrid of their DNA and the DNA of the locals, whatever they might be, Neanderthals or whatever. And that therefore, we do have, at least some of us have the alien gene, and we could use it. Maybe all of us do, if we knew what to do with it.
That could be a possibility as to the, I guess, the selection, if you want to say it that way, of family lines in the alien abduction experiences.
Well, that's assuming that the abduction experience is as we say. The thing I wonder about, though, is why are there so many of them? I mean, you think if it's just getting DNA, they could do that without having to grab a whole bunch of people. They could get enough samples to get a pretty good idea about our DNA. If they're trying to build a hybrid race or fix a problem with their own genetic code, which brings us back to the possibility that our visitors are time travelers from the future, trying to fix this, they would be able to do it without having to do it on a mass scale. And some claim that thousands, hundreds of thousands, or millions of people around the world have been abducted by aliens. You think that they're just grabbing people out of their bedrooms day and night.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a heck of a lot of those reports. And it did make me wonder, I had the same questions myself in the past, and I wondered, well, this isn't really, this is more than just experimentation. This is maybe farming or harvesting or something like that that was going on. Perhaps there's some or insertion which has some sort of long-term gain, like you said, where they're time travelers and they're coming back to perhaps, you know, change the DNA for a positive or, depending on the agenda, for their negative. I don't know.
They want to undo the damage, but that, of course, takes us to the one possibility of time travel. And we talked about it, by the way, a little bit with Tim Schwartz, because he did a time travel book. And that is that we have this block universe theory, where everything is as it was meant to be, and therefore there is no way time travelers can go back in the past and change anything. They will simply do what they were supposed to do. Of course, then we get into the argument of free will and everything. Or we have the other theory that every time they make a change, it starts a new time frame or a new timeline, and therefore there are many, many versions of us. Sad to say, there are other Gene Steinbergs on Earth 69 and Earth 400, and that must be a pretty frightening experience. Not so much with J. Randall Murphy or Cheryl Gottschall, but, you know, with me, it just must be a terrible thing. Imagine somebody on Earth 74 saying, oh, my God, that guy. More to come with Gene Randall and Cheryl. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.